This evening, we're just going to be reflecting on one verse as we consider the topic of prayer. I know this morning I heard a sermon on prayer. We'll just continue that theme as we lift up our petitions before the Lord. We're going to be looking at Colossians 4, verse 2. Hear now God's holy word. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Amen. Let's pray as we've read God's word. Lord, we ask as we've read this, as we contemplate it, that your spirit would be working, teach us, that we might understand what it means to be a praying people. It's in Christ we pray. Amen. Well, as we've considered or as we've set this day aside as a day of prayer, as we think about what's going on in our world, in our denomination, in our congregation, and even in our lives, it's really important to reflect on what it means to pray and how we should be praying. You know, there's a number of things that we ought to do more often than we really do. We neglect to do often what we should do. Maybe it's like drinking water. We all know we should drink lots of water throughout the day. But if you're like me, coffee seems to be a good substitute. We should know that we should drink or eat our vegetables. We know that it's good to get a good night's sleep and to exercise. We know it's a good thing to do is to change your oil every 3,000 miles. It's a good thing to read books. Isn't it a good thing to pray? But instead of being something that we practice daily, like breathing or eating or drinking or walking or talking, often we treat prayer like that emergency switch on a wall when there's alarm bells going off to cause emergency. Often we associate prayer with emergencies or crises in our lives. But I suspect that maybe more crisis help happens in our lives because we fail to pray. If you're like me, and it's difficult as I bring this message to you today, I feel like a hypocrite. Prayer is one of those untapped resources in which God has given us that I fail to take advantage of. It's more that I talk about it rather than practice it. But Paul here understood the great nature and understand the power of prayer. Prayer was a big part of Paul's life, and he expected it to be a part of every Christian's life as well. Paul, and for that matter, Jesus, did not say that prayer would be easy. It can be difficult, but it must be done. How's your relationships in life? How's your relationship with your spouse? How's your relationship with people in the church? You can't really answer that question in the positive unless you communicate with one another. And so we might ask and suspect that our relationship with God is much the same. If we don't spend time in prayer, how can we expect to understand God? It's that communication between God and His people, the people in which He loves. And so the simple point for you tonight is pray. Pray. And so I think Paul gives us three characteristics of prayer that you and I need to put into action tonight. It's part of our lives. First, you're to pray with steadfastness. To pray with steadfastness. Paul begins by saying, devote yourselves to prayer. In the NASB, or continue earnestly in prayer, as the New King James Version says. The word translated, continue steadfastly, is one single word in the Greek. It can mean something like persist in, adhere, affirm to, remain devoted to. It carries this idea of dedication, dedicated to prayer. Of the 10 times this word is used in the New Testament, 4 of them have to do with devoting yourselves to prayer. It's a very powerful word. And it's an imperative. Devote yourself to prayer. In other words, persistent, steadfast prayer is not an option. It's a command. It's ordered by the Lord Himself. So therefore, keep pushing forward in prayer. Remain in that one direction in prayer. Paul is saying, keep moving forward. Don't give up. Dedicate yourself to prayer. Remember how Jesus instructed us in Luke chapter 11 and 18. Both have to do with persisting in prayer. In Luke 11 is where we find the promise that says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Each of those verbs are in the present tense with the active voice. And they could be translated like this. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. So Jesus is telling us, don't give up on prayer. He instructs us to persist, to continue in prayer. And then Luke 18, in the parable of the widow, goes like this, Luke 18, verse 1. He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice. She will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he not delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Jesus is telling us to persist in prayer. Continue to ask God. Now, there's a difference between persistent prayer and long prayers. You don't necessarily have to pray long to be persistent in prayer. Persistent prayer means not giving up. You've all, again, we talked about this before, but fitness. We often start out and we think like, you know what, if I just work out on Monday, that's good enough for the rest of the week. But we know that's not true. There's little gain in working out that one time. Rather, it takes a daily routine of continuing working out. So it is with our prayer life. If yours is like mine, it's quite erratic. And we can often quit. You know, it's easy to pray when it's easy. Some people give up easily and they quit because they don't feel like praying. The joy is gone. I don't feel like praying. But you and I, we're not to live by feelings and by emotions, but by the commands of the Lord, where He calls us to pray without ceasing, to continue to pray. The great evangelist and creator of orphanages, George Mueller, said it this way about prayer. It is a common temptation of Satan to make us give up the reading of the Word and prayer when our enjoyment is gone. And if it were of no use to read the Scriptures when we do not enjoy them, and as if it were no use to pray when we have no spirit of prayer. The truth is that in order to enjoy the Word, we ought to continue reading it. And the way to obtain a spirit of prayer is to continue praying. The less we read the Word of God, the less we desire to read it, the less we pray, the less we desire to pray. So how do we do it? How do we commit to persist in prayer? Well, we set aside regular times of prayer. And so if you're taking notes tonight, I want you to go ahead and make a little box. And I want you to commit right here and now a time that you commit to praying. A specific time in your day where you set aside regular time in your personal life, in your family, and as in our church, to make a habit of prayer in your life. So when will you pray? Well, let me remind you, kids, I want you to listen up. This passage is in context of the new life that we have in Christ, as it tells us in chapter 3. And it relates to where we are in Christ and how we've been made new creatures in Christ. It also talks about husbands and wives and children and masters. And then it goes on and says here in the beginning of chapter 4, therefore pray. So guess what, children? You're not exempt. You ought to be praying as well. This is for you. This is for all of us. So be persistent in prayer. So let's turn to the second characteristic of prayer. You're to pray with watchfulness, or to be on guard in your prayer. So as he said in verse 2 here, to devote themselves to prayer, he also says, be alert, be watchful. And some people, some commentators believe that this is referring to the second coming of Christ. And although I respect some of them, I don't believe here is what this passage is saying. Because this is the way that Paul uses the word often. The word watchfulness is not necessarily in relation to Christ's coming. It's how Paul uses it. It's to be ready. It's much like how Jesus told his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said this. This comes from Matthew 26. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. He said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there to pray. And talking with him, Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let the cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. And he came to the disciples and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Paul is saying the same thing as Jesus told his disciples, be watchful in your prayer, that you might not fall into temptation. Talking about falling away from the gospel. And Paul is talking here to the Colossians, saying that they need to be encouraged to not fall into temptations of this world. To not be enamored by the false teachers and to fall into temptation. And as much like Peter says in 1 Peter, in reference to the tricks of the devil, to be watchful. So here in Colossians 4:2, the believer is to be alert. They need to be alert about what faces them and the brothers and sisters in Christ, in the church. As we talked about here in chapter 3, it talks about living in the church, living among one another. And we ought to be watchful for one another. And so this should be a concentrated awareness. We all know there's so many distractions in our prayer. Distractions in our lives. And we may be tempted not to press on, to become sleepy and dull in our prayers. Our minds can be clouded by other desires other than that which belongs to God. So therefore, we need to be praying. We need to understand in our prayers that we have limitations. And we need to know the limitations of others. We can't be consumed with ourselves. We need to understand in our prayers, our watchful prayers, that we don't forget the resources that are found in God. So don't fall asleep. Don't give in to the temptations of the devil. So watch out for your souls and the souls of others. And don't be tempted. There are many problems that face the church today. There are many problems that face us as Christians. Don't be sleepy. Be alert. Be aware. We need to be aware of the needs of people around us. We need to be aware of the work of God in our lives. And so here I ask you to write box number 2. Box number two, what are some of the needs of the church, of individuals in the church, and of yourself? What are some of your needs? I encourage you to keep a list of prayer lists that you might reference to keep your prayer going forward, to understand what to pray for. I know Titus and the and most of you have dealt with the DASH groups. There's a good list there to be using. So that leads us to the final characteristic of prayer given here in this passage. To pray with thankfulness. To pray with thankfulness. Paul never fails to mention thankfulness, does he? He constantly tells us to be thankful. Ephesians 5:20 tells us to be thankful, to be filled with and walk under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 4:6 tells us to be anxious for nothing, about nothing, but in everything with thanksgiving to make our petitions before known to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us to give thanks in all times, for this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:17 says that believers are to be believers. Excuse me. That as believers, everything we say or do should be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as we give thanks to him. And that list could go on and on throughout the scriptures and Paul's writings. See, when you express thankfulness, several things happen for the believer, for us. What it does is it highlights first your dependence on God, that you need the Lord. It demonstrates your relationship with him, that you understand that all good gifts come from him. It communicates your gratitude and a proper attitude towards God. And as we read in the call to worship in 2 Chronicles, it generates a humility before God. Thankfulness is a theme of Colossians and of the whole of the Bible. And we should not stop thanking God in all our prayers. Tonight, we'll be praying about some hard things, difficult things. But all our prayers should be rooted in the good news of Jesus Christ, that he has saved sinners, that he has given us new life in Christ, and that he has blessed us with so many blessings in this life and in the life to come. Isn't that what heaven will be like? Eternal eternity of thanking God for his goodness to us and his salvation he's provided for us in Christ. So why is it so difficult to be thankful in our prayers? Are you discontent with the place in which God has placed you, with your circumstances of this life? So box three. Let's talk about some things you can be thankful for. What's something you can be thankful for in your personal life? How has God blessed you? How has God blessed you in your family life? Yeah, there's lots of bad things. We can list them all, I'm sure. That's pretty easy for us, isn't it? But what can you list of how God has blessed you? How can you thank God for your work? How can you thank God for your church? How can you thank God for the community in which you live? How can you thank God for the nation that you live in? There's so much to be thankful for, isn't there? So make your prayers have an attitude of thankfulness. May our prayers be marked by the characteristics, these characteristics: steadfastness, watchfulness, and thankfulness. May God bless us to that end. Let's pray. Father, this is I think this is a difficult thing for us to do as your people. It's so beneficial to us to pray to you, to continue in prayer, to show our dependence on you, and yet we fail so many times. We ask that this would convict our hearts and our souls, that we would create new patterns of life where we dedicate ourselves to prayer, to be watchful in our prayers, and to be thankful for all that you've given us. May you bless us to that end. In Christ we pray all these things. Amen.